I don't know if anyone will believe me if I say that this is going to be the quickest sermon that you've ever heard. But by the grace of God, it will be. And I apologize to the ladies at the sound desk, but I'm going to deviate from the plan. And I'm just going to share a few things that have been really just kind of exploding to me this morning, and just a short passage from Hebrews 9. And Hebrews 10, and that'll be that. So if you have your Bible, or first, if you want to open to Hebrews 6, and we'll just read from 11 to 20. So if you have your Bible or you want to read along on your phone, that's fine. And I'll read it out. So I'll read Hebrews 6. I'll start at verse 10. It says, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." And isn't that cool? He's not forgetting about any of it. And I've been very, very humbled as I've gone around and had cups of tea with people and talked to people who have lived lives for God and done amazing things. And you know, I want to encourage you, God's not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love which you've shown towards his name. And some of you have done amazing things for the kingdom. In that you have ministered to the saints and do minister, it says, and he shifts a gear here and he says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope till the end." And I feel like that's a fitting word. God wants us to give the same diligence that we have shown in the past to things that we've done for him and for his kingdom. He wants us to now give the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. We're running across the line in faith. "And that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you.' And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel." My version of that is the steadfast unwaveringness. "The immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie." He can't deny himself. "Let God be true and every man a liar. It's impossible for God to lie. "We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us." We sung this in a song, "My Anchor Holds in the Veil," right? "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." And we definitely won't open up Melchizedek, or it will not be a short sermon. But there's something that Jesus did in his ministry that has entered into the true tabernacle in the heavenly realms. There's the physical tabernacle and temple system is physical and seems substantial, but it's actually a type and shadow. It's a foreshadowing of the greater reality of Christ's priestly ministry. And you can read about that in Hebrews 8, 9, and 10. And you might as well read the rest of the Hebrews coming up to it as well, because it's good lead in. But Jesus came as a high priest, and he entered into the real tabernacle, the true tabernacle, not made with human hands. And he entered in once with his own blood and perfected forever those who are being made holy. If you picture the tabernacle, you've got this courtyard, and then there's a gate, and then there's the altar, which is made of bronze, then there's the laver, which is made of bronze, and then there's the tent, the tabernacle. The first room is the holy place. It contains the golden lamp. It contains the table of bread, the bread of presence. It has the altar of incense. It has a veil, which was the curtain, which we mentioned the other week. That's the blue, purple, and red curtain. And that separated man from the presence of God, from the most holy place, which is what contained the Ark of the Covenant, which is the place with the mercy seat where the blood was put once a year, and it's the place where the very presence of God dwelt in its most strong, pure form. And that was veiled. Only the high priest could enter that place only once a year and not without blood. Okay, you with me? Hebrews 9, verse 11 says, "But Christ..." Talks about the limitations of that system and how it could only deal with outward things, but it couldn't make the worshippers perfect in regard to the conscience. They were still sin conscious. They were more sin conscious the more they sacrificed, the more they came in this system. The more you live under the law, the more sin conscious you'll be. And it was concerned only with food, drinks, various washings, fleshly ordinances, external things, outside of the cup type stuff, until the time of Reformation, Hebrews 9:11. But Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself to God without spot, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, the covenant of his blood, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. And there's a lot in between that we're kind of skimming over here. But there's a heavenly tabernacle. There's a reality in heaven, in the spirit, in the spiritual realm, which is what the physical tabernacle was pointing to. Christ is the gate. The cross is the altar. It came, the cross was on the earth, it's made of bronze. The water is the water of the word. It's also the water of baptism, but it's the water that washes us and allows us to enter into the tent under the blood covering in the light. In the light. And the light of the lamps shone forward on the bread, which is the word. It's the word, it's the manna. So the Spirit illuminates the word. And we come into this place under the blood, living in the light, feeding on the word. We have Christ who came and interceded for us at the altar of incense. And his intercession was the only thing that could break the veil. He broke the veil. He tore the veil, which was his flesh. It's torn, ripped open, top to bottom, God down to man, blue down to red, purple in the middle, Christ, royalty, where God and man come together. And he's torn the veil and opened the way, the new living way, it's called, right into the most holy place because he wants us in there. Because in the garden, there was a cherubim that was watching the way to the tree of life. We couldn't get back there. But in the tabernacle, there's cherubim all over that thing. All over the tabernacle, there's cherubim. But the veil's torn and the way is made back to God. Yay! And so I'll just finish with 10, 19, down to 25. Therefore, brethren, in light of all these things, and 8, 9, 10, have a read. In light of all these things, therefore, brethren, that's what therefore means. It means because that's true, this is now relevant. So if you start on a therefore, back it up and find out what it's there for. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, not because of our good works, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated. He set it apart. It's done. It is Lamb foreordained before the foundation of the world. This thing was always on. He was always making a way for us. He's not going to change his mind. Okay, that's the anchor that we have, is the blood. It's in there. It's done. It's the hope of righteousness that we have. We've got to cling to that, grow in that place by faith till it becomes the anchor for our soul. I'm right with God. His blood's on the mercy seat. I have total access to his presence. That'll put boldness in us. By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. So we have boldness because of the blood. There's a new living way consecrated for us through the veil, which is his flesh, which was torn. And we have a high priest who sits at the right hand of God, Jesus, who became a man, and he sits at the right hand of God interceding for us, his blood speaking a better word over our life. The blood of Abel cried out for vengeance and he was righteous, but the blood of Jesus, vengeance, the wrath of God is satisfied and his blood's crying out mercy, mercy over our lives. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. This is where we step into all this now. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. He doesn't want us sin conscious. That's the ministry of the law. He wants us righteous conscious. He wants us conscious that we've been made right with God, that we have access to him. That's what produces fruit of holiness in our lives. Good tree, good fruit. And our bodies washed with pure water. If your heart's sprinkled and your body's washed, it means you're clean. You're clean. You couldn't enter in if you weren't clean. That was the whole point of the tabernacle. It's crying out these truths to us. Unclean, unclean. That's what they used to say. They had to be clean. You couldn't come in the presence of God. So we need to know we're clean. We've been washed. We've been sprinkled. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. See, this is the same diligence of the full assurance to the end. We've got to stay here. And if you stumble and sin and the ministry of the law is trying to teach you a different truth about who you are and your identity, you have to get back to this truth. You have to confess, of course, otherwise you're just going to be, your soul will be a mess and you'll just have sin consciousness and devil have access to bring guilt and shame and condemnation. But if you confess, he's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and you get back to this place of believing the gospel. And without wavering, you hold fast the confession of our hope. For he who promised is faithful. He doesn't lie, and he made an immutable oath. Okay? And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. So our meeting together and stirring each other up in love and good works and considering one another is in the light of all these things that he's done. But we won't go too much into that. That'll do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you became a man, you fulfilled what man failed, and you brought us back to the place where we can have your life in us, your spirit, your love, your nature. And we're growing, Lord. Help us to get a boldness and a confidence and hold fast the full assurance of faith, the full assurance of hope. Help us to give diligence to the full assurance of hope. Until the end, to be totally grounded, totally consolidated, settled, established in your finished works and who we've become in you, because you want us coming boldly into your presence. You want us coming boldly to the throne of your grace to find grace in time of need, and we're always in a time of need. But we have access to you, and we thank you and we praise you. Put this in our hearts, God. Help us to get established and help us to live in this place of freely coming into your presence and growing in our relationship and communion with you. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's it. That's